Testing, one, two, three. Test, one, two, three.
I'm here to tonight's meeting, January 12th, 2015, of the regular Bell City Council. Would you all please rise and Jean Bing will lead us in a moment of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Let us all choose our decisions wisely and for the best interest of the city, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity you have given all of us, Lord, to be here and make decisions for this city. In your name we pray. Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated. Go to item 1.3 on our agenda, roll call. And I see that all of our council tonight is in attendance. So we'll move on to item 1.4, citizen input. If there's any citizen here who wishes to address the Othello City Council, please come forward or raise your hand first. I'll recognize you. Come forward to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. And you have up to 5 minutes to address the city council. Yes, Jed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not a resident of Othello. My address for the record, name is Jed Crowther. I'm the city administrator, city of Connell, 104
Welcome.
East Adams in Connell. The item I have before you is, you know, not timely enough to make your agenda, but just wanted to put it on your radar. We recently met with a rail coalition that is working on improvement to the Connell Rail Interchange. It impacts Columbia Basin Railroad service to Bruce and Othello, Royal City, Warden, Moses Lake. There's some critical infrastructure improvements that need to be made there. The City of Connell would be a local applicant for a curb planning grant, Community Economic Revitalization Board planning grant, and we're seeking support of a coalition for the wide three-county area. There are a number of shippers, 60 active rail shippers on that line, 12,000 carloads in the past year, more than doubled in the last 5 years or so. And so it's a real impact for our communities, not just for regional agriculture, but for people that reside within our cities. And for that reason, City of Connell is taking the lead role. CURB requires a local applicant, and that pinch point is there where improved efficiency could be generated by proper planning there. We just welcome input and support from City of Othello in that regard as well. So I'll give this to Debbie and appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Jed. Council, do you have any questions, Jed, at the moment?
What in particular are you're trying to form a coalition to deal with the railroad and try to get the railroad to do more spurs or what?
Right now, the interchange at Connell is located right by the Connell Grain Growers, which impacts crossings right within Connell at Clark Street. It's an older, outdated configuration built about 100 years ago, not big enough to accommodate unit trains, for example, often impacts our crossings and blocking crossings. What the coalition has designed is to move that interchange further to the south in more industrial areas, which does two things for our local community. It should improve the flow of traffic there, so they're not assembling trains right in front of our pedestrian and vehicle crossings, and also add that unit train capability. An example would be Port of Warden with Pacific Coast Canola brings in those unit trains, and currently they have to go all the way to Pasco, turn around to come back up. You know, they come from Spokane, go to Pasco and back up. with improvement in an interchange in Connell, would be able to streamline flow and, you know, help this regional economy, help our communities. So that's the intent there. A feasibility study, a preliminary design, and a cost estimate. From there, the greater coalition would probably be seeking state and federal funding for construction. But the first step would be for a local entity, the City of Connell, to pursue a grant to conduct that study.
I know the Adams County Development Council has took a lot of interest in this.
Yes, they
have. One of our board members, Pat Boss, is part of Central Washington Rail also. And this is really needed because it is causing a choke at the Connell. We're all getting involved, but the local jurisdiction needs to take the lead, which is the City of Connell, and I think we need to lend them any support we can because we see a lot of future growth in Adams County and Grant County, but all those cars go through the northern part of Franklin County there, through that part of railroad, and to help progress economic development, we need to increase that. And
we're working closely with
Pat. Great interest.
He came and presented last week at our meeting.
Just remind you that Senator Sessler sets on the curb grant appropriations, and that is his district. So we really need to work on our local.
Thank you,
legislators.
So, Jed, what you're simply requesting right now, the council, is a letter of support for your curb grant, planning only grant.
Yes, the max ask for a curb planning grant is $50,000 in grant, and we would need a certain match to go with that. I think the larger players would be asking them to probably do some kind of monetary support as well. I think at this point in time, a letter of support from the City of Othello would be appropriate.
Okay. All right. I think we can count on that. Do we need a motion?
No.
So I'll write a letter of support to the City of Connell?
No, it's not by me.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Jeff,
Thank
for
you.
Coming tonight. Moving to item two, approval of the agenda.
Sean.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm trying to move on, Ron, and I apologize.
That's no problem. That's right. Tonight we received we've been working on a design for our trailer for the advertising for Othello. We came last year and asked for some funds to help with the trailer for the Distinguished Young Women. And the council, the committee, I think you were on that, and it was $2,000 approved to help purchase the trailer and $2,000 for the advertising. And so we've gone to signs now, and this would be on both sides of the trailer. And there would be you can see the events on there with like the Fair and Rodeo, Crane Hill Festival. And if you can't read, it says, "Come visit Eastern Washington's best kept secret. Welcome to Othello." So we just want to show you and see if this is something that you think is favorable, that advertises Othello, and if this is so, we will charge ahead. So any questions, comments?
So basically, this is the part the city had made an appropriation to the Distinguished Young Women,
right.
And the second part of that appropriation was a sign on their
right.
trailer. So this is fulfilling that part of it. So
this isn't the actual trailer because our trailer doesn't have the wheel wells, they're on the inside, uh-huh. and so it actually goes straight down there. But other than that, it looks pretty much the same. It's a 20-foot trailer. We went to many parades and events, and the Distinguished Young Women, it was a great year for them. And our pageant is coming up on the 7th of March. We have, I think, 7 girls that are planning to run for that. So we would appreciate any support we can get or all support, right?
Okay.
Any questions?
Good. No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other citizen input tonight? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item two, the approval of tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three, consent agenda. This time I entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second it. Motion's been made and second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item 4.1, public hearing on marijuana producers, processors, and retail sales.
Evening. So, just to give an update, I know the city council has heard this before, actually in December, there was a presentation to the council. There really has not been a lot of development in the state, in the legal realm, regarding the retailers and the enforceability of zoning regulations against retailers. There are two current cases on appeal, the city of Wenatchee and the city of Fife, and we do not have decisions in those cases yet. My understanding is that the there have been no applications for to the Liquor Control Board for retail licenses within the jurisdiction of Othello. So at this point in time, there really is no risk to continuing the moratorium on issuing zoning regulations for retail marijuana sales in the city. So anyway, my recommendation is to continue the moratorium, given the lack of legal risk and the lack of guidance currently out there in the law for this matter. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions or answer any questions the council has on that matter.
Go through public hearing procedure. I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and open the public hearing, Kelly,
okay.
And then we'll proceed. So I'd like to open tonight's public hearing. It's now open at 7:13 p.m. and it's being held to receive public comments on the city's recent marijuana moratorium. It's required by state law, and Kelly has given us his report on the legal developments with regard to marijuana. So at this time, I'm going to now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. And after I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and I will allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen to make a comment. So at this time, is there any citizen comment or public comment with regard to this marijuana moratorium? Okay, hearing none, I will now close this public hearing at 7:14 p.m. Is there any council comment that they would like to make with regard to this moratorium? Okay, I just will mention that the city of Othello is still continuing to study in an ongoing process the effect of having marijuana stores, growing operations, producers, processors in the city. We're seeking input from the Sheriff's Department, the Juvenile Department, the Mental Health and Drug and Alcohol through Integrated Health Services at the county, the school district, the religious community, the police department, and any of the other potential state, the Chamber of Commerce, and other potential stakeholders, so that we can make a good decision. Right now, because of the potential litigation and actual litigation that's taking place, we don't want to charge ahead too quickly in an issue like of the sale and distribution and production of marijuana in Othello. So we're proceeding slowly, deliberately, so that we can make a very good decision in the future. Any other comments? Okay. Let's go to item 4.2, election of Mayor Pro Tem. The first meeting of the new council members may by majority vote designate one of their members as a mayor pro tempore or deputy mayor for such period as the council may specify to serve in the absence or temporary disability of the mayor, or in lieu thereof, the council may, as the need arise, appoint any qualified person to serve as mayor pro tempore in the absence or temporary disability of the mayor. In the event of the extended excused absence or disability of a councilman, the remaining members by majority vote may appoint a councilman pro tempore to serve during the absence or disability. So at this time, we, the council nominated and elected Ken Johnson a year ago for a one-year term. So tonight, at our first regular council meeting, I will call for nominations. As this is, will be the process, I'll call for nominations. All nominations should have a second or they will die. And after all nominations are received, I'll call for a vote. There's not a majority on the vote. The number of nominations are reduced by either a runoff between the top two or elimination of the individual receiving the least number of votes. The nominations must include a term which is set by the council and should be included in the motion to appoint. The term is discretionary by council vote. So at this time, I'll call for nominations for mayor pro tempore for the city of Othello.
I'd like to nominate Ken Johnson.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Is there any further nominations for mayor pro tempore? Hearing none, your nomination should include a term. So will you withdraw your motion and then restate the motion, please?
Yes. I'd like to nominate Ken Johnson for a term of 1 year.
As mayor pro tempore?
As mayor pro tempore.
Okay, so we have a nomination and a second. Is there any further nominations? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ken Johnson, congratulations.
Thank you, council.
Item 4.3, award bid for concrete drive and the waterline extension. We have our city engineer, Larry Julius, here tonight to guide us through the explanation of the bid process and the awarding of the bid.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Good evening.
Good evening.
On December 18th, the city received 11 bids for the concrete drive water main extension project. The bids ranged from $108,000, about $858, up to $610,517. The engineer's estimate was $158,319. The low bidder, POW Contracting of Pasco, is currently a Washington State registered and licensed contractor and has the relevant qualifications and experience to successfully perform the work the project will require. We've checked references, gone through the mandatory bidder responsibility checklist provided by the RCWs, and all references we checked were favorable. They are licensed, they are ready to do the work. They've talked with staff about starting around the 1st of February, and we do recommend award of the project to POW Contracting. So the recommendation is staff recommends the council award the construction bid to POW Contracting Inc. in the amount of $108,857.78 and authorize the mayor to sign the contract. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Larry, how long is this water line?
Do you know? It is 1,500 feet.
1,500 feet, yeah.
We also have a short section of about 90 feet of sanitary sewer to put in as well. We have one crossing of irrigation district canal, mm-hmm. right where the sheriff's office turns and goes north of the dirt road into it. So we figured if we're going to have a permit to cross there with the water, we might as well put sewer in too so we don't have to get a second permit sometime down the road.
What size of water line?
12 inch.
12.
Have they done any other work for Othello?
I don't believe POW has. We've checked a number of their references, a number of different cities throughout the Pacific Northwest in the state of Washington. They did some work with Walla Walla, and a very good response. The city said that they'd love to work with them again. Good quality work, both in the field and in their office paperwork. They've actually done work with Gray and Osborne before in other communities, and we had very favorable responses from them. They also did some work at the Port of Walla Walla recently, water and sewer mains, and everything went very well on that project. Very responsive, good to work with, according to the folks down there as well.
Without actually being privy to the breakdown of the bid process, you have 10, 11 bids.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine some of those bids, the reason they're a little bit higher is because of the distance they're coming, so there's a mobilization cost getting here. You had 7 corrections that needed to be made?
Yeah, whenever there's a math error, we note that as a correction. For example, the high bidder, Hardline Construction, made a math error where they didn't multiply their unit price times their unit quantity and get the right, you know, the correct math. So in using their unit price, that upped their bid considerably. Some of them are small, minor errors, but we wanted to point out if there is a math error, what it is, and especially if it has to, if it changes any of the standings as far as bids. In this case, it did not.
But I guess what I'm concerned with is what line items were less expensive between the two lowest bidders? What items were POW providing that were cheaper than Pegram Construction, who's right here in town?
Yeah, the
pipe cost?
Pipe cost was the primary one. POW had a price of $27.70 per foot for the 12-inch water main. Pegram had $33.35. We have one fire hydrant, so we have a little bit of 6-inch fire hydrant pipe. POW's price was $25 a foot. Pegram was 36 and a quarter. The gate valve, we have 4 of those. POW's price was $1,500 per each. Pegram's was $1,850. Just a few items like that. The 10-inch sanitary sewer, the 90 feet of it, POW had $65 a foot. Pegram had $5,640. So it went back and forth like that, and it was very close between the two. About $8,000 difference.
Same classification of piping?
Yep. Yeah, they all bid on the same project. Pegram's mobilization was a little bit less, $3,900 compared to $8,000, probably because they are local.
Okay. I'm not comfortable using people who have never been used before.
Their license isn't bonded, so.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I believe we have to go.
We're obligated to use the lowest bidder.
By the state.
If there's no thing to disqualify them.
There's nothing that we
so
see.
Nothing to
all of their,
so.
Yeah, all of their math was correct. All the forms they had to fill out were correct. Checking the responsibility, you know, they're license bonded. They have a proper industrial insurance through LNI.
Okay.
There have been cases where cities have rejected the low bid to go to a second bid, but there are some pretty extenuating circumstances associated with that. And I'm sure council could elaborate on that.
Okay, so we have your guarantee there's not going to be any change orders?
I wish I could say that. We don't think there's going to be. With underground work, you know, we may run into a big boulder somewhere, or like we're crossing under the existing culvert pipe that the irrigation district has. Nobody knows what condition that pipe is in, and we're going to backfill with good quality material, but if it starts leaking, they may turn around and say, replace it. Hopefully that won't happen.
Kelly, do you have a comment?
Well, I can certainly weigh in on the requirements for the bidding process and accepting a bid. The city is required to go, if they, all things being equal, if the the low bid is the city finds that they're a responsible, well-qualified contractor, then the city would be obligated to go with the low bid.
Thank you.
Okay.
Don't have to like it, but...
But 800 or 108,000 is the bid. That's what the job needs to be.
That's right.
We cannot disagree.
There's some reason why the engineer's estimate was 158, and this is approximately a third less.
When we put bids together, we try to be somewhere in between a high low and a low bid, to be conservative, so that when we do open a bid, we don't have a low bid that comes in substantially higher than the estimate. And this was based off of what we thought a competent contractor would take to do the work.
Well, we had 11 bids, so
yep,
a lot of people wanted to do the work.
Very competitive.
Yep. And I know my time on the council, this time of the year is the best time to go out for bids, because contractors are just starting to look for work, and they will be getting very competitive, and the prices will be down there.
Okay. It's time then I'd entertain a motion to award the bid for Concrete Drive to POW Construction.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 4.4. Appointing Roger Enns to the Planning Commission. Claire Lackey has resigned and moved to the Tri-Cities. And so between Travis and myself, we've had discussions with Roger Enns to see if he would be willing to serve on our Planning Commission. So the process is the mayor shall make the appointment with confirmation by the City Council. So I would like to appoint Roger Enns to the Planning Commission, and I need confirmation from the council, so I'll need a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
So you have a motion made and second to appoint Roger Enns to the City of Othello Planning Commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Roger, do you have any comments that you want to address the council with?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your willingness to serve. Moving on to item 4.5. Pat Simmons was appointed by the Planning Commission to the Planning Commission in October, and he filled an unexpired term, and now we ask for confirmation to appoint Mr. Simmons to term through December 31, 2020. And at this time I'd entertain a motion to confirm Pat Simmons to the Planning Commission.
Make that motion.
Second. Go ahead.
Motion's been made and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.6, Police Department Spillman software purchase, and Police Chief Phil Shank is here to give us a staff report.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, what this is we went through the budget process. We brought up some issues, some software purchases that we would like. This is for those items. It actually comes under budget of what we'd asked for, and I was able to get Spillman to throw in one extra thing called their find it here, crime monitor interface. What this will allow is actually to show a map on our website that shows where crime is happening, where citizens would actually be able to subscribe to it, say they live at this address and they'd like to know whatever happens within a certain perimeter of their property. So that, what this is, I mean, it's obviously fairly expensive, $53,990. This authorizes us to sign the purchase agreement to get this started.
I'll make note, having checked with Wade and Spencer, that the purchase of this software is was budgeted, and this is comes underneath the budget amount. So with that, I need a council motion to approve.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item 4.7, amendment to interlocal agreement services with Adams County for jail services. Please, Chief Field.
Thank you again. What this is a modification to the current agreement that we have with Adams County. Adams County is our current primary jail where we take all of our inmates. State law requires that they actually pay for the felony inmates, or the convicted felony inmates. In this case, we pay for our misdemeanor inmates. They can no longer put the resources into supervising those inmates when they're sitting in, at the hospital or going for medical work. That takes longer time. We are obligated for those costs. What this does is puts our contract in line with the action that we've been doing for a while now. So there is an increased cost, but we still think it's going to be within budget.
Okay. Is there any further comment, Council?
I guess I got a question. So does the police department transport them up there, or the county?
We transport our inmates to Ritzville, to Adams County Jail. In this case, if we needed to pick one up, we could say just as in many cases, for example, we pick somebody up for a minor offense. If they've got significant medical issues, we're not going to want to keep them in jail, for a $400 traffic violation if the cost is looking at, $5,000 to $10,000. So in that case, we would get a dismissal from a judge, dismiss their charges, so we can file them again later. Or if they're post-conviction, we may just ask that be set aside for all. One of the things that most folks don't know, and real quick, DSHS pays for most people's medical expenses, or many people's medical expenses, when they're not in custody. They cut all funding when they're in custody and put that obligation on us, and that's a little known fact that most people don't realize. We've lobbied at the state level for years trying to get the DSHS to continue the payments that they would make if they were out. They won't budge on it.
So the modification is an amendment to the agreement, and what specifically is the amendment?
The amendment is the section paragraph, or section 2, it's paragraph 4.2E, and basically I think you have the words in front of you, but it allows in emergency or life-threatening situations, the county will provide transportation in up to 2 hours of security on that individual, so that gives us time to get up there. And on non-emergency, they would make notification to us so we could take what steps we needed to do to either get them out of custody or get someone up there to supervise them.
And that will help you? Or is that going to be a hindrance on you?
It doesn't help us, but it fits within what I think our obligations are anyways. If these were felony inmates, I would suggest to council that we not make this modification. Because this is misdemeanors and we are obligated for those costs, I do think that we need to make this modification.
Okay. So what's your recommendation?
Grudging my yes.
Okay.
Okay, staff recommends we approve this agreement. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Motion's made in second. Any further discussions on the amendment to the jail services agreement? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.8, interlocal agreement for jail services with the City of Toppenish.
Both the Toppenish agreement and the Sunnyside agreement were asking to be moved to the 26th meeting.
Okay. So you're just going to push that forward? We'll read at our next council meeting.
We need to do some negotiating with changing some language in those that our attorney has found.
Okay.
So we'll make that. The goal was to put it back in front of council on the 26th.
Terrific. Thank you. Moving on then to item 4.10, purchase agreement, police vehicles.
This is a purchase for the two vehicles that were authorized at budget. This is a state bid purchase, so we're falling within the state purchasing. So we don't have to go out to bid. We don't have to sole source. This is that easy. What we found when we looked at the website is we have to make this order by the end of the month, or we have to wait for the contract to be renegotiated for 2015, which would put our purchase of those cars significantly into the year. So we're asking council to consider this. It's exactly the same two SUV-type vehicles that we just got. We are going to ask that they be configured a little differently to hopefully save some cost. That they will come with some of the police packaging installed, which would reduce our cost in Moses Lake from Day Wireless. You know, the other thing is both of these vehicles are definitely to replace patrol vehicles. These are not going to admin or anything like that. These are patrol vehicles.
Does the cost of the vehicles fall within the budgeted amount?
Yes, ma'am. We will still need to do some additional costs, the decaling, radios, computers, and the light equipment, specific light equipment that would be installed in Moses Lake.
Do you have a rough estimate on that?
We will spend every dime that was budgeted, is my estimate. I think we budgeted $90,000, or approximately $90,000 for the two. Putting the new computers in, we're looking at some potentially less expensive options that some of the Tri-City agencies are using. But our goal is that when we replace a vehicle, we're going to replace the computer and the radio so that it can make it the 8 years without, hopefully, make it the 8 years without having to be replaced.
Please, you have 25,000 or better.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Council?
You need a motion?
Yes, I do.
I'm making a motion to approve the expense to purchase the two vehicles for the police department.
Thank you, John. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Moving on to item 4.11, approval of skate park design. And Molly has some has a report for us.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. You may remember I came to you on December 8th at the council meeting to present a possible final design for the future Cityville Fellows Skate Park. After the design was reviewed and some we heard some feedback from some of the members of the skate park interest group, the council asked that we go back and work on the design to make it more what the group is looking for, and also to kind of change some elevations that we had discussed in the meeting due to a design change that had happened right before the council meeting. So we went back to the drawing board with Swan Ranch, and you will see the design attached to this agenda memo. There are actually two designs that the council will see. They're both labeled skate park design option number two. But one design has the option for colored concrete, just something that our committee had noted that they wanted to have as part of the park. It's definitely a distinguishing factor for the design. It would be something that would be very unique to Othello. And then we also have another design that has the park without the colored concrete. So these, the pictures that you see here, this is the design with the colored concrete. So there have been changes made to the elevation up on the west side, what would be the west side of the park. The bowl is now deeper. There's a waterfall that goes into the bowl. And so these are basic, or this design is a, is the product of the changes that the council had requested we go back to work on after the December 8th meeting. This design is approved by the members of our skate park interest group, has been reviewed by the members of the Parks and Recreation Committee, and we have members of the skate park interest group here tonight in support of the design. Because, as the council had mentioned, now is the best time to be able to go to bid for construction projects, because people are needing the work at this time, and generally can get a little bit better rates, hopefully. And so what we would like to do is be able to make a decision tonight with the council on the design for the future City of Othello Skate Park. One thing to know is that the new design with the colored concrete does incur additional cost to the budget. I spoke with our finance officer, Spencer Williams, and we worked out, we talked about a couple possible funding options, one of which is actually currently budgeted for, would be an additional $10,000 from the Parks Engineering Services line item that we could pull to pay for the rest of our design contract. And that would end up ultimately increasing our budget to about $222,000 and $222,500. So the design option with the colored concrete would increase the budget by a total of $14,000 if this $10,000 is allocated into the skate park fund. If the design does not have colored concrete, it would be an additional $7,000 to the budget. And the original design that I brought to the council back in December would not increase the budget at all. So those are the options that the council is presented with. So we have an option for a motion to approve the skate park design option number 2 and the allocation of the additional funds, or approve the City of Othello skate park design number 1 and that was previously presented for approval at the December 8th council meeting.
But there's actually three options. Option 1, leave it the way it was.
Right.
That was presented. Option 2, there was design changes made, but the concrete stayed concrete color.
Right. There was a colored concrete option.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then the option, the third and final option, which is $14,000 above the budget, is to add color to the concrete. Josh, can you come up and explain some of the design changes on option 2 and disregard the color, just as what you did in changes?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me tonight. First of all, when we went back to Spawn Ranch...
Josh, hold on just a second. Okay. Can you give him the pointer?
And Spence, go to option 2 without color. There you go.
Okay, first of all, what we did, which I brought up at our last meeting, was I would have liked to have seen Spawn Ranch work with us a little bit more as far as what the skateboarders would like to see within the skate park.
Right there.
So, you know, with you guys' permission to work with Spawn Ranch a little more, they were much more willing to work with us in the design. To help improve the park, to make it a more well-rounded, more of an intermediate to advance. Taking it from the beginner and pushing it more into the intermediate range first, so all levels of skateboarding will be happy with it. So one of the design changes, you know, I'd asked about implementing was just adding this small feature in right here, which is just a little bank-to-bank extension on this bank side here, and it provides a backside ledge. Another thing I had asked was to stretch the stairs out, and just it was originally just a little four stair, and they just taken it And we raised the elevation here. This was initially only 2 feet high, and so we brought this up to 3 feet and then stretched the stairs out a little bit. And then the other thing, I suggested maybe right here, this channel going down into the bowl is a waterfall feature, so instead of it just being flat all the way across here, it'll actually dip down in there, and it helps with picking up speed so that you can come from outside the park into this bowl section and pick up momentum to be able to hit these walls here. So I suggested that, and I didn't expect, but what they ended up doing is they made up the bowl a little bit deeper, which will make it a better bowl. It wasn't originally only 4 foot. Now I believe it's at 6 foot here and then 7.5 here, which will help. It's a lot easier to keep your momentum and speed with a little bit bigger of a wall. And overall, I was really happy with how they worked with us, and I was actually really surprised with, I had initially thought about what we could do to offset the cost of the additions, but with all that they did and then with the addition and the colored cement, I thought it was pretty fairly priced.
On this option number two, in looking at it in contrast to option number one, did they put steel along the concrete edge?
Here?
Yeah, because there's a difference in coloration between option one and option two.
Well,
was that something you requested or?
No, option one, option two, concrete. This is all just your standard concrete, and you may have not. I don't know. Can we go to option one? Do we have that picture there? Both designs should have the would have had coping around the edging.
You went to the cost, Spencer. Go to the design option.
Number two there.
Number one. Design option number one. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no edges on these.
Right. They're not showing it, but they are a part of that.
Okay.
In that design.
So that wasn't any different design. Okay.
Right. See, one thing we took out was this elevation drop was dropping down here.
Yep.
So we kept that all the way across, which brought the elevation up, stretched these stairs out, added this little feature, and then we brought more depth into the bowl. So if you average all the changes that they made in addition to making the park better, I think it's very fairly priced as far as the additions.
Thank you, Josh. Okay.
Thanks, Josh.
This is something you could live with, then?
I would definitely live
with this one, then, two.
I could live with two. I'd love to see three, but, something as an interest group, we talked about. I think aesthetically, it makes it a more pleasing appearance, gives it character, as well as defining your edging and helping know the different
depth of perception.
Depth of perception, exactly. So,
okay.
Other than that, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Does the young man have anything to say?
We really like the new...
Can you say your name for the record, too?
Rigoberto Rebollado.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So what we did, Josh did, but we really liked the new design and everything. It gave it a better flow, and there's definitely stuff there to help beginners and to keep people who are, better ranked or better at skating, to keep them interesting and actually have more people coming to skate in Othello because it's a good park.
Nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say this on behalf of the council, but we really appreciate all the effort that's gone into this. It's been a marathon.
Well, thanks. It's definitely been a learning experience, and I've had a lot of great help, so. One thing that I did want to mention to the council is, yes, the new design does, or this design number two, both of them, does require additional funding to the budget. That doesn't take into account the fee or the fundraising that we have to do as a group, as a committee, for to match our Tony Hawk grant skate park funds. We are required to, or they ask us to raise $5,000. However, it's possible that we could go above and beyond that, and that money could be paid back towards the account. And it's also very possible that with the work of our interest group, that we may be able to get some in-kind donations, materials, anything like that, that could go towards this and ultimately decrease our costs to where that money could get paid back. And also, that's not to say that we wouldn't have, that it's not possible to have bids that come in under the estimated construction costs. But it is always good to ensure that you have the money there. But I just did want to note that we are working to be able to raise some of those funds, so we're not having to keep asking council for help, but so we can, you know, be able to pay that back.
So the fundraising, does that have to be by a private interest group and not the city?
It can be
to show the interest.
Either. When I talked, I asked Peter Whitley with the Tony Hawk Foundation, where you draw the line, what's fundraising and what's, you know, the council putting more money towards the budget. And he said if the council wants to put more money towards it, that can be considered it, because they just want to see that $5,000 increase in the budget from when we applied for the grant and afterward. But they also liked the reason that they ask you to do the matching amount or to raise the matching funds is to see that community interest and to see that the skaters really want to have the park there. So there's different ways that they can do it, but I think ultimately as a group and as a council, I think a joint effort in some sort of fundraiser would be best alongside any additional funding that the council were to give.
Okay. Thank you, Molly. This time I'd entertain a motion for design option two with the color.
You want to go the full boat?
Yes.
You do?
I'm entertaining a motion.
From number one,
let's,
I think it's
let's a get a motion on the table and then we'll discuss it.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
I'll second. Okay. Now let's discuss it.
Okay. Well, number one, one of the things that when we started looking at the designs is that we wanted something that would bring some character to the park. A lot of the designs that they had were very artistic, and I was a little disappointed when they first brought us the just gray bowl. So it wasn't very interesting. I like the color. I think that it's going to add a lot of interest. It's not going to look like just a big gray concrete mass out there in the middle of the park. Number two, I think that the color does add a safety aspect to the design, because like Josh said, it will help with that depth perception for the skaters and for anybody else that's out there.
Well, I think too, we want to do something excellent because we've taken so long to make up our mind. Second, we probably aren't going to spend any additional funds for quite a number of years on the park other than maintenance on the skate park. So I think going with the color is worth the additional money that it's going to cost for all those reasons. So mayor's in for it.
Don't we have, we have monies. Wasn't this money in combined kind of in with the community center money? No, it was separate. I was going to say we had a little extra money there, and I know that our community center / farmers market, it hasn't gone ahead at all yet, but there I thought maybe that would be some funds that we could draw from for the extra.
We have $350,000 set aside for the community center. That piece, then the 200 was for this.
So if this approves tonight, is going to satisfy Tony Hawk for the extra $5,000?
It's possible, but we have until, we've extended our deadline until March 2nd to be able to raise more funds. So will satisfy that deadline, but I think it'd be best, because we do have to write them progress reports every 6 months, and I do think it would reflect best if we were to do additional fundraising on top of what the council were to give.
Well, if we make the motion and pass the motion for option, the third option, the colored concrete, we're approving a park that's $14,000 above budget. So what we're doing is approving expenditure in excess of $14,000. So we need to, after we make that motion and pass that motion, we need to figure out where we're going to get the money. Because we're actually going to pay for it. Anything that's done through fundraising by third party, private party, is going to end up paying us back.
And we are looking, we are meeting tomorrow, the committee, to discuss doing a brick fundraiser to basically have a community tie-in. And I think, especially with the stipulations of the Tony Hawk matching fund grant, that'd be, it really has a personal tie-in for people that are donating money, where they're able to see where their money's going. And I think it's great because the whole committee and interest group are able to market that through, you know, they can hand out flyers and people can sign up themselves, and the chances of us making or, you know, fundraising more than 5,000 is definitely, it's there, so it's possible.
So let's go around. Mark, do you like it?
Yep.
Color?
Yep.
Eugene?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I like it.
I'm fine with two without the color, but
I like the color.
Actually, it was fine too without the color too, but I think Jim made some great points, so I said color.
He's making a believer out of me.
And just to note, it's called Harvest Gold, which is quite Othello. So
I saw one over. I was over on the coast this weekend and just happened to ride by. We were at a wrestling tournament, and they had one over by the school, and it was just solid concrete, and I was like, something's missing or something, you know. It was just like Jenny said, this, it was there, you know, type of deal. So when I saw that, what a world of difference.
Okay. All right, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So then further discussion on that is, Councilman Dan Deaver.
Yes.
Were we going to name the Dan Deaver? That was his request, his dying request.
Was it his dying request?
It was his dying request.
Well, I know that he worked very, very hard, and he was in touch with the young men quite a bit in the community, trying to get this done when he was very active on the council, and I think that would be very appropriate.
Invite his family. We have a ribbon cutting or something. Okay, very good. Turnaround time, Molly?
Well, with the finalizing the design, they basically have about, I think what they had said, about 70% of the construction documents done. If we were to have approved it back in December, they were estimating that we would go out to bid in late January. So I would estimate that it would probably be mid-November that they'll have that done and out to bid. And it's a very short
process. February, you mean?
No, not November.
February?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, mid-February. And it is a very short bid process. He said about like 3 to 4 weeks. So it should be pretty quick once we get the decision in. So.
And then construction.
And then
completion.
Construction. Yeah. I would have to get more accurate numbers on that. I can give a report at the next council meeting if that's what the council would like.
Yeah, we'd like to know when that'll be up. I'm sure everybody okay. else would too.
Yeah.
How long would the bid process be on it?
He said about 4 weeks.
Is Tom Ranch the only one bidding on it?
Oh, no, he'd go out to contractors. I don't think they're going to do the contract work. Yeah,
they're just project manager.
They're just engineers, yeah.
Yeah.
They just did the design, and then they'll handle the
oversight
right. of finding a contractor to do their work based on their design.
I think they are allowed to bid for it, but
are they?
I think so, yeah.
They are? All right. Well, we'll see where their bid comes in against some of the others.
Okay. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
Let's go to item 4.12, ordinance to vacate alley right-of-way. Travis, you have a report?
Good evening. My name is Travis Goddard, and I am the Community Development Director for the City of Othello, for the record. When I started with the city, there were several projects on the desk when I started working here, and one of them was a vacation request by Mr. Garza to have the vacation, or to vacate the alley right-of-way, to which he had a license approved by the city in 2004. So he was using it as part of his storage lot, because he owned the lots on both sides of the alley. The city council had a public hearing on the matter on February 25th, 2013. The minutes from that are in your record. And unfortunately, our attorney pointed out this evening that there was an error in the processing, and that is that specifically for vacations, they're required to have a resolution which schedules the public hearing, and we did not do that. There was no resolution in the record, and I put it on this agenda and had it noticed like a regular public hearing. So technically, we did not properly advertise the public hearing for the adoption of the ordinance that you have before you. So I quickly drafted a resolution so that the hearing could be scheduled for, I believe the date is February 23rd. And so if the attorney has a chance to take a look at that, or if he has any comment, he might be able to fill in some holes.
Sure. I have had a chance to look at the resolution. Well done. Short amount of time. Good job. And Mr. Goddard is correct. The procedure, and I don't know that, I think it was because of passage of time. I think it's safest for the city council to pass a resolution to set this for hearing. And there are some very specific notice requirements set out in the statute for the vacating a public right-of-way, and because of the passage of time, just want to make sure that the proper procedure was followed. So I think that this is a good measure to take out an abundance of caution.
Okay, very good. So I need a motion then tonight to adopt the resolution for the public hearing to vacate Mr. Garza's alley right-of-way.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Okay. All those any discussion?
I had a question.
Yes.
So he was paying $50 a year up until 2009. So from 2009 till now, he hasn't paid the $50?
I can't answer that.
Find out.
Because to me, it looks like that's the case. And I mean, if I wasn't, I'm a business and I'm not paying my $50, I think somebody would be coming after me for $50 a year. So I think we need to look into that also.
We'll find out.
So so he actually signed a license agreement with the city for the use of the alley, their property.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that, Travis?
Yes, the license was approved the 10th of May, 2004.
Now, did the license expire at some point?
2009.
2009? So he no longer has a license for it, so he's requesting to the city of Othello to vacate the property to him?
That is a good question. I also, there is also no date on his request, so it is possible that he submitted the request before the license expired.
So how many, one thing I'd like you to do, though, before we go to work on deciding what we're going to do as a council, because this goes back, way back to another council. But if I'm going to make a decision on this, I want to know where it's at. I want to know how large the plot is. I mean, how many feet by how many feet?
It's in the
Where's the pictures? I don't see the pictures of the lot.
There's, I could let you know, I do remember this from a couple of years ago. You know where his building sits right now?
No, I have no idea.
Right in the middle of the alley. The building.
He built his fence around that property, and that alley's right in the center. So his building.
The building is over top of their lot.
Over the top. So what happens then between Hudson Tech Park, all the other properties have an alley, but they're all fenced in. So what happens there?
Okay, so he owns all of the lots on either side?
Yes. So, and I believe it's 44, or it's marked 44.
So vacating the alley will not affect any other business owners whatsoever?
It will not.
Explain what you explained to me this morning, please, about the size of the lots and why this makes good planning sense.
Sure. The parcels that are shown in the assessor's office include 25 through 36 and 13 through 24. And so that is shown as one parcel. That is shown as one parcel. And the question was whether or not, how this vacation would affect the usability of that property. And my personal professional opinion is that the larger a piece of commercial property it is, the more opportunity it provides for development versus, you can see these darker lines here, it's three or four lots. Three in this case, four in this case. So they are similarly sized lots from the original Othello Realty plat. And so it limits the options on those properties simply because there's not enough area for a large building and any parking.
It would be east-west?
Yes.
Okay, that's east-west. The north-south area there, is that a alleyway, roadway?
That is an alley right-of-way.
Okay.
You can't tell it's an alley because it looks like not on Park, you can't.
Yeah, okay. And those three, I'm assuming that's three broken down lots that are running,
1, 2, 3, 4 through 8 and 9 through 12.
So there's three of those are owned by somebody else?
Yes.
So that will, they will still have an alleyway access?
Yes.
And we're just vacating an alley that basically both sides belong to him.
So Mr. Rolando Garza owns all of those lots inside that, in that block, as it were?
Essentially 13 through 36.
Yes, okay. So it would make sense then.
Sure.
Well,
all right, but we're not going to decide that tonight. But.
No, we don't have any services running down that alley, do we?
No.
Okay.
So why wouldn't we vacate the rest? We got 39, 40, 44. I can't see the other ones because they're cut. But if we're going to do this one, because all these properties are fenced in, they've been fenced in forever. So if we're going to do this process, I don't think the alleys will ever get used because there's, you know, I think if I'm correct, I think number 40, Mark, you can help me with this. Maybe the one above. That's Erasmo Martinez, and their shop is probably smack in the middle also. So I think most of this area here, you got shops right in the alleyway. If we're going to vacate something, might as well do all of them.
There is a provision in RCW for the city to initiate vacations, but...
I just want to hear if Terry has anything to say about those alleys. If we have any services in those alleys that we're talking about, do you consider that?
Well, I think we need to talk about the alley that Roland Garza's got and leave these others alone for now, because some of these are vacated already and some of them aren't. We just don't know. This one we know for sure is because the city's not going to put any utilities underneath this Roland's shop, because it's setting on it, we're not going to bore that half a block. It doesn't make sense. We've got water in Park down here. We've got water on Roosevelt. If we were going to run any utilities, we would run them in the street north and south of what they've got. But this short block right here doesn't make sense to charge a guy $50 a year, because it's not going to benefit the city, that short half block. The north-south run, we could use for sewer, because we're going to put sewer down here on First Avenue as well, in our SR 24. But I think we need, this one here comes up, but the rest of them I think we need to take a good look at before we jump off that stick. And because some of them are vacated up further. Pegram's got one that's vacated up there. I think Helmuth's Construction's got one that's vacated up there. But the rest of them I think we can use.
Where's Flamingo and Martinez?
I'm not aware with those.
Yeah, Erasmo Martinez and the Flamingo Trucking is right by Pegram's.
Excuse me. Let's go back to, let's just deal with this one tonight. And then if we want to continue on this discussion about other ones, we'll do that. But that, we'll bring those up at a later meeting. But for tonight, we have on the, we have a resolution. Motion's been made and second to adopt a resolution to have a public hearing on this particular one.
Then we can discuss other items at the time, at that time.
Yeah, and I think that it does make sense, but I don't want to take up any more time tonight having that discussion with the council's permission. Okay. All those in favor of the authorizing the mayor to sign the resolution? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. Just a question.
Yes.
Could we charge for that vacancy?
Charge for the vacancy, for the process of him having initiated.
Well, it's city property. If he wants it and he wants it vacated to him?
I believe you can. I would want to double check the code to make sure that's the case, but I believe that it is.
Well, we were renting it to him.
That's right away though, because he probably owns to the center of that.
We were renting it to him. Alley.
Yeah, it's a right of way, and so the city is renting the right of way. Whether you can charge to vacate the right of way for him to possess that, I don't know. Because when you vacate the right of way, generally under Washington law, the land underneath the right of way reverts to the adjoining landowners. And so right now he's the adjoining landowner on both sides of the alley, so he is essentially the landowner. So I don't know. I'd have to double check that, but it could be. Because I do know there's references into the code on that, but I'd have to look at it in that special context. One thing that I would also just want to raise to keep in mind for future discussion, the city can initiate vacation of its own right-of-ways and other alleys, but you have to do, if a city council wants to look at other alleys, you have to consider each one individually and be very deliberate on that, and we need... And so if you want to do that in the future, we can, but we just have to be very deliberate in which ones we're looking at and very clear to identify them.
Okay. Travis, do you have anything further you want to add?
I could add a little of that discussion to the memo when it comes before you on the January hearing or the February hearing.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, Travis. Let's move on to item 5, unfinished business, 5.1, the committee list. At the workshop meeting here the first of a week ago, I had asked the council to review your different committee assignments. I have replaced all of the open positions here, save for the Park and Rec Commissioner, which has to be done internally from the pool committee. So that's the only unfinished item on our committee list for 2015. Has the council had opportunity to review? Are you on the committees you want to be on? Is there anybody who wants to change or swap somebody for a committee?
I don't want to take another one on.
Okay. All right. So everybody satisfied? Debbie? You're good? Okay. New business. The Planning Commission is going to be holding a retreat
Tuesday, January 20th, from 6 to 9 p.m. So that's going to start the process for the new Planning Commission members and Travis with their retreat. Travis had discussed with me the possibility of having a city council representative attending the Planning Commission meetings in order to give back feedback to the council at council meetings as to what's happened. That way it comes not necessarily from staff, but the interpretation of a council member. So is there anyone on the council who would be interested in serving as a representative, council representative to the Planning Commission and attend the January 20th, 6 to 9 p.m. meeting?
Just for that one meeting?
No, there would be an ongoing.
What days do they generally meet on Tuesdays?
I'm going to have to ask Travis.
Third Monday. It says I'm here every third Monday.
Third Monday of the month.
Of each month.
I think one of the things we will talk about at the retreat is what would be the preferred night for the Planning Commission meetings. Currently, it is your off Monday is when the Planning Commission meets. It just so happens January and February, those Mondays fall on holidays. So we're doing a Tuesday, both in January and February.
I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you, John.
January 20th, 6 to 9.
Where will that be held, Travis? Right here. Okay, good.
In council chambers?
Mm-hmm. I'm kicking around the idea of going myself. So, yeah. Now, I think Jennifer had sent you, the council, a memo via email about the evening of January 29th or January 28th of a planning session of the city council. We, in the past, the council has had what I would, and what they had called as retreats, and what, with discussions with Travis and with Wade, I think what we want to do this initial session before we go to some kind of a retreat, we want to have a more of a brainstorming session. And so we're looking at that night to go from 5:30 to 8 p.m. City would provide dinner that is open to the public to attend. However, we won't be receiving public comment because this is a brainstorming session of the council about what you know, the direction as far as different things that we intend to do as a council and the city government to lead this city. So I'm just asking tonight, does anybody have a conflict with Thursday night, January 29th, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. here at the City Hall? No? Is everybody pretty good with that?
I'll be good.
You'll be gone. How about Wednesday?
I'll be gone.
You'll be gone? So you're out of town.
One second.
Okay. Let's look at a calendar. So if we look into February, potentially Thursday night, February 5th, would that be okay with everyone? I would like to have everybody here in that. Okay. All right. So that, again, that'll be a dinner and a planning and brainstorming session. And we'll change that to Thursday, February 5th. And that'll be right here at City Hall. Okay.
At what time?
5:30 to 8 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
And now, this time, I'd like to adjourn to executive session to discuss potential, discuss personnel. And I anticipate that might take as long as 15 minutes. And I don't anticipate the city taking any action after the completion of that executive session. So if we could, we'd like our attorney to remain and Police Chief Phil Shank to remain. Okay, it's now 8:35 p.m. We have concluded our executive session, and having no further business before the council, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:35
p.m. Yeah. Yeah, it worked out well, didn't it?
I'll see you okay.
Yes, sir.